And members of the public, I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:32. And as always, I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. I would also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present. Look, just because we're still dealing with new standing orders, just a reminder of public conduct at meetings under our standing orders, section 32. All members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs. We ask you to remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and please turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence, councillors, but as always, it's lovely for us to welcome a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, and today we have Peter Smell from the Cleveland Uniting Church to lead the council in a brief devotional segment. Over to you.
Thanks for the opportunity to be with you for a little while this morning. Normally I prefer to speak off the cuff, but because it's got to be 5 minutes, I've written it down. Otherwise off the cuff will be 15 and we'll all be in trouble. I want to share with you a short reading from the Old Testament this morning, from 1 Kings. And it reads this way. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart toward you. And you've kept for him this great and steadfast love. And now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, although I am only a little child." I'm not sure he was really that little, but anyway. "I do not know when to go out or when to come in, and your servant is in the midst of a people you have chosen. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and not asked for yourself lifelong riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, now according to your word, indeed I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." And I guess there are stories about the wisdom of Solomon and sorting out whose child was whose and all those sorts of things that some of you may know. And if you don't, you can look them up for yourself later on. We're not going to go into that now. But as counsellors, I guess, I'm sure that there have been times when you felt that people might have approached you, or a group perhaps has approached you, seeking pretty much an open check. You know? Help me to the limit that I want. But there's probably perhaps not many times when people have offered you one. And yet in this story about Solomon, that seems to be what God says to him. According to the story, God appears and says, "Tell me what you want." And Solomon, although he asks for wisdom, already seems to have a decent serve of that. He recognized his own limitations. His response is to say that he is young. Now, he describes himself as a child. As I said before, I'm not really sure that was true, but perhaps he meant, you know, in the beginning of his role, and so therefore not unsure about the way to operate. My hunch is that in Solomon, God saw some pretty good sort of raw material, perhaps because of that, and then God delivers exactly what Solomon's asking for: a discerning mind, the capacity to make wise decisions. Now, in all sorts of different walks of life, we find that there are people whose can best be described perhaps as a little bit fickle and sometimes maybe a bit snidey. That might surprise you, might not. You only have to look at the papers and read about Michael Clark in the last day or two to see that that's a real case. Our job as leaders, I believe, especially as those who serve, is to rise above such things, to treat all people with dignity and respect, and to hope that by doing so we might infect the community with those attributes, to hope that what we model might be copied. There are times when we look at our world and we wonder what's going on with it. And yet I still believe, perhaps a little naively, perhaps in faith, that we have the capacity to change our world one relationship at a time. So I believe that the way we engage with people, the way we offer ourselves, and the way we conduct ourselves does make a difference in the life of one person at a time. So if you allow me or would like to join with me, I'll lead you in prayer. Lord God, as we gather here this morning, I pray that this council, as it goes about its business, seeking to serve all people and create a future for the best of all constituents, might be granted wisdom and discernment as they continue to make quality decisions that are considered without fear or favour, with only the very best interests of all at heart. God, be with them as they go about their work today and into the future, and bless them with these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you this morning. Thanks, Karen. God bless.
The next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement, and I haven't been advised by councillors of any presentations in that space, so we'll move on to receipt and confirmation of minutes. Could I have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 29th of July be confirmed? Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Bishop. Any items of correctness, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott is absent. I'll now move on to item 6 in the agenda, councillors, and ask the Chief Executive Officer to present on matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meetings. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and through you, there is no further update from the last one. The workshop for the koala mapping is still being planned.
Thank you, CEO. Next item on the agenda is public participation. I believe we do have some speakers, so I will ask for a mover and seconder, councillors. The meeting adjourned for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of local government interest. Moved Councillor Beard, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Elliott is absent. Carried unanimously. Just before we move into that segment, if I may just advise members in the gallery who we wish to address council this morning, that there is some signage around the chambers regarding public participation, and it is council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject that they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at council's administration building and published on council's website. I'd like to also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Just another reminder that any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous, and make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Also, to give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting, to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers. And I also have the responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder for those addressing council this morning that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. And if a hearing loop is required, if you are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we'll bring a microphone to you. We do have a couple of written applications, and if I could call Mr. Robin Harris, our resident Maclay, to the microphone to address council for that 5 minute period. Thank you. So, Mr. Harris, just as a reminder, just state your name, suburb or organisation you represent, and you can begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin Harris, Maclay Island, and I'm here to talk about the Simbi issues. Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council. 10 days ago, we took this document to the Deputy Premier and had some discussions with her about SIMBY issues. And I'll tell you about the outcomes from that meeting shortly. SIMBY is a dilemma for this council. It's a dilemma for the state which created it. The dilemma is that we have four beautiful islands, 43% of which are conservation land, 7,000 empty blocks which will one day be built upon, something like 7,500 people at the moment. Are we the jewel in the crown, as we're often called by politicians, along with Stradbroke, or are we going to be 23,000 disadvantaged people disconnected from mainland and mainland facilities? I've come to this rostrum more times than I can count, not very many times recently, trying to advocate for a future for SIMBY. I've obviously not been very successful to date. We know that a future for SIMBY must have good transport connections to the mainland. It's an absolute must. This council in 2011 received an integrated local transport plan that was, I don't know, in old money, 4 inches thick. And that was the result of several months of deliberation. TransLink ferries were one thing that was recommended in there, that we should seek lower fares to encourage families to gain employment on the mainland. The mainland is basically the only place where people on the island can get employment. The TransLink agreement that this council got with the LNP government was supposed to bring that encouragement to employment and growth. Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, islanders have seen the property values lower by about 50%. And that includes the last couple of years. The TransLink agreement was supposed to help with our economic development and our property values. Clearly, it's failed. This council adopted a resolution in 2011 to investigate alternative barges and other means of getting vehicles backwards and forwards to the islands. To the best of my knowledge, nothing has happened. We've seen no progress on that. We know from the Dropping Off the Edge report, which recently came to the press, that these islands are severely disadvantaged. And I don't need to go into that any too much. Because expressing and articulating the degree of disadvantage on the islands is a double-edged sword. It might get us attention from the state government or even the federal government, but unfortunately it also deters developers and the people that want to come to the islands. And we need those working families. Sadly, it's possible to buy a block on the island for $30,000. And less. As a consequence, rents are very, very low, and we attract people who are dependent to a place where dependency cannot be coped with. So what do we need? We need state government help for a certain, and that's why we went to the Deputy Premier. We need to build a better, balanced and sustainable society. We need to improve employment and economic growth. And as I said, we need to attract working families. And more than anything, we need to have consistent planning. It gets me very annoyed, frankly, when we see governments come in for 3 years or 4 years, they do this, that and the other, they tinker with things and then they disappear into the ether, and then we have to go through the whole process again. So what we asked the Deputy Premier for was an authority similar to the Kangaroo Islands Authority, which sits directly under the South Australian Deputy Premier. It has the ability to plan and build island infrastructure on Kangaroo Island. Kangaroo Island suffers in not dissimilar ways to our own Simbe Islands, with transport issues and growing welfare issues. So we want to see the creation of that authority. We would like to have council's support for that, because that authority would take a significant load off this council in terms of the capital investment that is needed to build the islands and the infrastructure that is needed. We also want to see the commencement of a proper, prompt and conclusive transport review to include all aspects of transport by the state government. All of this work has been done in the past. It's all available. Not a lot has changed in terms of statistics and the costings behind all this. So we're asking for that. Whether it includes bridges, barges, passenger ferries, aeroplanes, overhead rail, I don't care. But as long as we get a definitive answer within a very short time and actually start some proper planning. The other thing we've asked for is the integration of any developments on Simbe with the Wynnum Creek PDA. Simbe infrastructure is poor in itself. Wynnum Creek has not yet been solved. This council has not yet solved the Wynnum Creek issues. It has not yet solved the issues of parking, partly created because of the lack of economic or barge transport, but the issues of parking on the islands. The other day, at 10:30 in the morning, I went to catch a ferry on Macleay Island. I counted over 60 cars parked on one area, well, several areas actually, but one combined area of private land. 60 cars parking on private land on Macleay Island. It's unconscionable. It shouldn't be happening. The Macleay Island jetty area should have been completed years ago. It still hasn't started. So something has to be done about that.
Ms. Harris, just a reminder that you're up to about 7 minutes, so thank you.
Okay. The other thing we wanted to see was the existing TransLink ferry service reviewed. The Deputy Premier undertook to visit Simbe in spring, and we welcome that, because we welcome the opportunity to have further discussions with the state government. She also undertook to review the TransLink and Simbe deal, both the levy and the zoning. She told us that a full fare review would be undertaken regarding TransLink, that it had not been officially announced at this point, and we were asked to make recommendations to that fare review. So I would suggest that it would be both logical and prudent to set aside any current proposals which you may have negotiated between council and what was probably the LNP-guided TransLink regime. And I would urge you to make submissions which reflect Simbe needs. And I'm sure you know what they are. I'm not sure our councillor does. And then I'd suggest that you wait the new government's approach following the review of the LNP's transport policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Next speaker is Mr. Clem Eber. If you'd like to approach the microphone. Thank you, Mr. Eber. And just a reminder, state your name and suburb organisation you represent, and please begin when you're ready.
Yeah, my name is Clem Eber. I'm a retired architect living on Lamb Island since 13 years, and I'm the chairperson of the Moreton Bay Combined Islands Association, short MBCIA. It is now about 1 year ago when I stood before you addressing council with regards to a possible road or bridge link from the mainland to the southern Moreton Bay Islands. As chairperson of the MBCIA, I wish to address you today on the TransLink levy of $88 designed as a trial only until the end of this year, 31st of December. Simbi property owners regard this levy as unfair because it is not imposed on mainland ratepayers, although they are using the same TransLink system already for years. It's just a few days ago that I was part of a delegation of the Simbi Forum and we discussed issues with the Deputy Premier and Minister for Transport and Infrastructure and her Director Generals. We urged her, inter alia, to abolish the TransLink levy altogether. We pointed out that in our view the levy is unfair and discriminatory as Simbi ratepayers are paying much higher rates already than their mainland counterparts. Robin mentioned already the latest dropping of the ETH report. I don't want to go into that, but the main outcome of this report is the, in view of the socio-economic ranking, the Bay Islands are being regarded as one of Queensland's most disadvantaged communities. From the fact that according to today's agenda, 16, the funding agreement for the ferry operation to Simbi, in particular ratepayers of Simbi, it is not discussed in public, it appears that a new TransLink deal, the continuation of the aforementioned levy, has already been negotiated with the Department of Transport, and it seems to be a foregone conclusion. I would, in addition to this discriminatory TransLink levy of $88, the existing TransLink BITS ferry system is no longer working and cannot cope with the ever-increasing demand. Commuters are being left behind because the ferries are totally overcrowded in peak hours. That is why we have invited the Deputy Premier, Jackie Trad, to see for herself how bad the situation is on the Simbi Islands, and the situation deteriorates by the day. She has promised us to visit the islands in coming spring. Running more ferries at shorter intervals is resulting in BITS having to acquire at least double the amount of ferries they are currently running, which inevitably will result in much higher fares. Not only will more ferries put a huge strain on all existing embarking and disembarking facilities on the island and on the mainland, more ferries will also destroy our unique marine environment and increase the danger to marine wildlife. The ancient vehicular ferries are totally outdated and need to be replaced rather sooner than later. They are only running infrequently and have limited space. Therefore, spaces are often not available when Simbi residents need to travel to the mainland unexpectedly. In addition, not all barges serve all the islands. Fares are already now exorbitant and prohibitive for Simbi residents and mainland residents alike. Freight costs to Simbi are excessive, resulting in exceptionally high prices for all aspects of life. Ferry and barge companies that are BITS and Stradbroke Ferries are one and the same company enjoying a monopoly, despite their different names. Stradbroke Ferries are not regulated and they are charging Simbi residents at their will. During the last 13 years, Simbi residents encountered a price hike for the barges of 243%, while the national inflation rate did not exceed 42.1% during the same period. Water-based transport, as the main means to and from the islands, is no longer an option. The current transportation system is totally out of date and cannot cope with the future demand. Visitors for the islands have to drive around for more than half an hour at Wynnum Creek to find a parking spot, distances away from the ferry terminal. Ferry passengers are slashed with exorbitant fines when they return and happen to overstay their parking time for no fault of their own, but for the lack of adequate parking. We can only hope that the revised PDA scheme for Wynnum Creek will provide significant more spaces than provided in the current scheme. The new development at Wynnum Creek might transform the area into a world-class waterfront precinct, as our mayor announced recently, but Wynnum Creek will continue to be the gateway to Simbi with their third world conditions, as stated in the dropping of the edge report only a couple of weeks ago. If transport and infrastructure on Simbi are not improved, rather sooner than later, the islands are going to deteriorate even further, while Simbi property owners are being hit with ever-increasing charges. In view of Section 16 of today's agenda, I ask you all to not to accept a new TransLink levy of $88 when the trial period ends on the 31st of December this year. They suffer already enough. We, the ratepayers of the Southern Moreton Bay Islands, deserve to be treated the same way as our fellow mainland citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Albert. Do we have anyone else in the public gallery that wishes to address council this morning? Okay, with that, we'll ask that we resume our meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconder Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you. Unanimously. Sorry, Liz. Okay. The next section on the agenda is petitions, and I have been advised of a couple of petitions. If councillor has a petition to present, I ask them to move that motion to be seconded, that the petition be received, etc. So, Councillor Hewlett, I believe you have a petition.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition to present it. This petition is from residents, predominantly parents and residents of the St. Rita's community of Victoria Point, concerning development MCU 013447, 41 to 45 Benford Road, Victoria Point.
You need to read further this motion there, Councillor.
Okay. I propose that the petition is of an operational nature relating to an MCU application currently being assessed under the Sustainable Planning Act 2009 and be received and referred to the CEO for consideration.
So moved by Councillor Hewlett, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Before I take that vote, sorry, do you need to speak to it any further, Councillor Hewlett?
No, but...
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Hardman, I believe you also have a petition to present.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a petition to present from the residents regarding the proposed development land located on 35 to 41 Wrightson Road, Thornlands, ROL 005873, that the petition is of an operational nature relating to an application currently being assessed under the Sustainable Planning Act 2009 and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
So moved by Councillor Hardman, seconded by Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hardman?
No, not at this time. We do have a workshop coming up on this matter.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Next item is presentations, and I haven't been advised of any presentations this morning, so we'll move on to the order of business. Is there any motion to alter the order of business, councillors? There being none, I'll move on to... Oh, sorry, Councillor Elliott.
Just in light, I'm sorry I ran late, Mayor. I had a... What's happened there? Oh, God. Anyway, can't be heard. I'll yell louder, as I said yesterday. Mayor, I was just going to say, in light of the Simbi residents in the room, could we bring forward that item?
You're moving that we bring that item forward to where on the agenda, Councillor?
Yes,
would you like it? Item one?
Yes, please. Yeah, bring it forward and it'll be the first one.
Just double-check, Councillors. It is a confidential item, but after discussions yesterday, I don't believe we were going to move into confidential. No. Are you happy with that, just to make it clear? Yes. So Councillor Elliott has moved that we bring that item, which is item 16.1, to the beginning of the agenda, which will bring it before 11.1. Yep. So moved by Councillor Elliott, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Moving on to Councillor Bishop. Yes, Councillor, you don't defer it at the order of business. That's right, when you come across the item. Thank you. Order of business is done. Item 10, councillors. It's just a reminder of your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. You know what they are. There is the summary of those responsibilities are in your agenda. That moves us on to the body of our meeting this morning, and we have moved item 16.1.1 to the beginning of the agenda, and I don't know if we need officers to present, but I believe, councillors, you've been provided with an alternative motion, so I might, if that's okay with your indulgence, just hand over to Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wish to amend the item 16.1.1, funding agreement for ferry operations to Simbi. I wish to move an amended motion and move that the matter lay on the table.
So I'm just, the technicality is, councillors, we will need to have a motion, the motion put on the table first, right, before we can let it lay on the table. So I need a councillor to move the recommendation. I'm just making sure I'm... Yeah, and then we can take the procedural motion, Councillor Edwards. Happy to move that, Councillor Boglari. Seconded by Councillor Tolte. Now, before we take that, I'll take that motion. I think I've got my order right. Is that correct? So we have the motion on the books now, right, as it's been presented, and now, Councillor Edwards, you can move your procedural motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wish to amend the motion and move that the matter lay on the table until a council workshop is conducted and further discussions held with the state.
Thank you. Just for clarity, it's not an amendment, it's a procedural motion. So that's been moved by Councillor Edwards. It doesn't require a seconder. I'll put the motion. There is no discussion because it's a confidential item at this point in time. Move the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. And if I can just say that Councillor Gleeson is absent at this point. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the body of the meeting again, 11.1.1. I'll ask Councillor Beard to present on my behalf. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the officer's recommendation for item 11.1.1, that is that Council resolves to note the quarterly operational plan performance report for June 2015.
So moved by Councillor Beard. Seconded to that, councillors. Seconded Councillor Hardman. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Very briefly, Madam Mayor, this report actually reports on 45 operational projects, and the report indicates that of the 45 projects, 35 have been completed, 4 are ongoing, and 6 have been carried forward to the 2015-16 operational plan, and the attached report contains explanation on each of those 45 programs.
Thank you, Councillor Beard. Councillor Boglari speaking against the motion. Question?
The question on everyone's lips, I think, refers to the project on page 9 of 15. The current review of our planning scheme is in with the state government. I was just wondering if there's any update from officers on when that might come back, and if there isn't, is it possible for us in any way to write a letter asking when it could come back, because with Christmas coming on, we don't want our consultation period when people are away.
Thanks, Councillor Boglari. Look, quick update from me. Every opportunity I have when I'm speaking to ministers or senior officers of the state government, I ask that question. No, we haven't got it back. I believe it's not far off, but that's the best I can tell you at this point in time. Until it lands in our letterbox, we don't know. But they are aware of our requirements and the urgency of making sure our community can proceed with consultation on it.
So it's just is it on or off? Residents ask me, surely there's a regulation or some legislation like there is about everything, about timeframes. Can I just, the CEO have an answer?
No.
There's nothing. They can just do it in their own sweet time.
We are advocating very strongly. Kim Kerwin and the Mayor, as you heard, are advocating extremely strongly to get it back so that we can go out to public consultation. We're doing every endeavour that we know, trying to do everything, but there's no regulations around the timeframes. Also, just to give the public and councillors a sense of comfort, if you like, Kim Kerwin, who is our project manager, is constantly revising our schedule and working out ways that we can make the consultation work as it is expected from the community, because of the time frame slipping and you come up with Christmas, and we also have an election coming up in March. So Kim is working very creatively, if you want to put it that way, with our comms people and trying to make sure that we can deliver the best outcome. So once we get that back from the state, we will then come to council with the detailed plans and the consultation for your consideration. But Kim and the team and all officers are very much aware that this is a watershed document, for want of a better term, for the council. Needs the due public consultation that is required, and we have learnt some lessons from previous consultations around when public can and can't respond or choose not to.
I think just to put into perspective, we actually lodged the draft plan with the state in November, so we've been waiting 9 months. You'd all be very aware that the state government legislates how planning occurs, and so they are in the driving seat. So, but every endeavour has been made, certainly by myself and by officers, to get it back to us ASAP. All right, any other questions? With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Beard to sum up.
Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. 11.1.2, Councillor Beard.
Once again, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the officer's recommendation. That is that Council resolves to note the Councillor's Small Grants Program funds approved for 2014-15. To note the efforts will continue to have outstanding acquittals lodged with Council. And three, note that in line with program guidelines, no program funds can be made available within the six-month period immediately prior to the next local government election, scheduled for 19th of March 2016.
That's moved by Councillor Beard, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Councillor Beard, would you like to speak to it?
Madam Mayor, the Council's Small Grants Program was established at the beginning of this term of Council and was transferred from the Community Grants Program in December 2012. At that time, an amount of money was made available to each divisional councillor to allocate to community and sporting groups within their own electoral boundaries. And it has been immensely successful and immensely popular amongst those community groups, I can assure you. This report simply outlines how that funding has been allocated.
Thank you, Councillor Beard. Speaker against? Is it a question or is a speaker against? No? Sorry. Question? Okay. Question or a comment? Okay.
I just want a clarification that, as Councillor Beard indicated, this is extremely successful and it's a great way we can work, you know, with our local groups on all levels. But with the election coming up, it won't be available all year like it usually is. Can I just have clarification from an officer when that cut-off date is? Because
six months prior to...
So what date's that? In September. So if a club out there that usually approaches their councillor is after some sort of funding this year, don't wait till after Christmas, because everything will be in closed down mode then with the election, so get it in before September. I just think that needs to be made public because they're used to us having it all year.
I think it's important also to note for those organisations that we have other grants and opportunities outside of the Council's Small Grants, and we encourage you to look at those in the first instance, because they actually probably are larger in financial opportunities than ours as well. Councillor Bishop?
It's pretty much all been said. I suppose on the other side of the election, after that six-month period has ended, there will still be hopefully some monies left in councillors' allocated amounts, so whoever's sitting in these seats will still have some funds there. So if community does feel like they missed that six-month opportunity, they can keep their projects coming into offices, and they will be assessed once the election results are clarified. That's all. I just wanted to actually support what Councillor Beard was saying. It's very important for us to be able to have that direct connection with our community and give value where it's at needed.
Thank you. I'm hesitant to take any more comments because it's a done and dusted, but Councillor Elliott, just quickly.
I can't remember a time where the money was kept.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Beard.
No, nothing more to add, Madam Mayor.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, on to 11.2.1. Councillor Tolte, would you like to present 11.2.1, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillors' attention to item 11.2.1, which are the decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
That's all in the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
No other comments or questions. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Tolte, item 11.2.2.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.2.2, the appeals list as was current at the 27th of July, and ask that these be noted.
Moved, Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, Madam Mayor, it's all in the report.
Any other questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item point 11.2.3, I believe we have an amended motion, Councillor Tolte. Councillor Bishop, the standing orders will tell you that we need to present the item before you can do that. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I did take advice following inquiries from councillors yesterday. The advice was that as this is a matter relating only to the SPRP and the reports as they reflect what's on the ground, that no amendment to this would achieve what councillors were seeking, and that it would be a matter for consideration when a further application is received. So at this point, I just need to move the officer's recommendation.
Before you do that, my advice was slightly different, I thought. Sorry? I thought I saw David here before. But just before we have this motion put on the books, my understanding, I did distribute an amendment this morning, and just get a nod from David that we can actually, we can move the motion and then vote on the amendment, but I thought I'll just double check before we go to that point. Yeah, well...
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I didn't. I thought that was a mayoral minute, that the change to the SPRP classification.
I'll just double check with David Jeans, because there was discussion at yesterday's meeting trying to accommodate councillors' request. If we can just add that to this particular motion rather than having a mayoral minute.
I think there's two separate items that we're discussing here. The matter that we discussed yesterday, Councillor Tolte, was relating to the layout for the material change of use application and whether you could change that through this process. That's really a matter to be determined when Council decides on the MCU application. The other matter that the Mayor raised was a possible amendment to write to the State to make representations around the SPRP and how it's applied. So two separate matters. So I think the alternative motion is fine.
Sorry, Councillor Tolte, up on the screen behind us, I think, if we could maybe, Joyce, just so councillors are clear. This was out of the discussion yesterday. Councillor Elliott asked if we could add this to this motion. So, obligingly, I've asked officers to provide that information in this amended motion before we move it, Councillor Tolte.
I'm happy to withdraw the motion I just put and put that motion, Madam Mayor, if that's appropriate.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Moved by Councillor Tolte, seconded by Councillor Beard. Now, Councillor Tolte, I'll let you talk to it if you wish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is an application MCU 013346 at 22 to 34 Collingwood Road, Birkdale, and it is regarding an application for an SPRP reclassification. What that means in layman terms is that the owners of the lot have had vegetation reports and environmental reports that suggest that the classification that currently sits over the land is incorrect, and their professional reports suggest that there is another classification that would more suitably reflect what the vegetation and the habitat that is actually on the lot. The officer's recommendation, as you see it there, accepts that to a degree, and that this matter is really about assessing the habitat and vegetation that exists on the lot under the regulation for the SPRP, which is mature and regrowth koala trees.
Just before we continue with debate, I might just, I know I had a request from a councillor to have the officer present to explain the SPRP and how this has come to be. So if I might, David, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a quick outline. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Tolte notes, we've got a current application for a mobile home park. as part of that application, the applicant has requested to have the classification under the Koala SPRP amended, and they can do so through Division 9 of the SPRP. When council receives such a request, what we have to consider is the current values on the property. Do they more closely align with bushland habitat or with a rehabilitation category? There was previously a lot more vegetation on this site than is there today. There was clearing that was undertaken in 2013 as a result of a dwelling house approval. One of the questions that council has raised is, how could that have occurred given the Koala SPRP? And the response is that the Koala SPRP doesn't apply to domestic activity. So for that dwelling house application, there was no prohibition on removal of vegetation. But the planning scheme did still apply. And under the planning scheme, as it was in force at that time and continuing today, allowed for offsets for vegetation removed. A condition was applied to that approval for the dwelling house for offsets if they were necessary. So in summary, the SPRP didn't apply. There was no prohibition of vegetation removal on that as a result of the Koala SPRP. But what council needs to consider today in terms of the request for reclassification is what's there on the ground today.
So just clarity, SPRP is a state government policy, state regulatory provision. So we are completely guided by the state's policies on this, and which is what David is trying to tell us, that we have to take into account what's on the ground today, despite the fact that we think that there may have been a loophole discovered by the applicant by allowing an approval for a domestic use first, hence and then coming forward with a more intense use. Hence why we've suggested an amendment to write to the state to plug these loopholes and take out the conflicts between our own planning documents and their overriding state planning policies. Councillor Bishop.
Yes, if I may. It's quite clear that there are many aspects to this particular proposal, although it seems quite similar on paper, simple on paper, what we're being asked to consider today. I would like, with regards to that, just to move a deferral and just clarification with the officer that would not impact this decision or the application that does exist, which is sitting behind this decision that we're about to make today.
There's no time frame on the request for reclassification under the Koala SPRP, so no implications there. The MCU application that sort of sits above this, we're in the decision-making period for that application. It's impact assessable, so the implication would be that it could potentially become a deemed refusal, although that's unlikely, I have to say.
So that explains that there are time frames surrounding this decision today.
Yeah, so I'd just like to move a deferral, if we can, just to get some absolute clarity around the very complex nature of that which is had led us to this point today.
I've got some questions I think that councillors want to ask. Is that okay, Councillor Bijouvi? Because I think we have been through a workshop, but I'll take further questions. Councillor Tolte? It's a deferral, it's a procedural motion.
Madam Mayor, Councillor Bishop asked questions of the officers yesterday, and from the information that I received, and he was present, I'm failing to see what a deferral will achieve. All the information is available now, and all the questions have been answered, so there's no further information, as far as I'm aware, that could be garnered before we make this decision.
Councillor Bishop, would you like to respond through the chair?
Yes, indeed. I'm more than happy to go through the complexity of that which is involved, and there are certainly facts that I don't believe that all councillors are aware of, and I certainly don't have absolute clarity in my own mind about the events that have led us to this point. I do believe that we could benefit from having more clarity around that, and that certainly the community could benefit from we as the representatives of community being certain about that and having a bit of extra time.
Well, councillors, I guess I wear in your hands as a deferral motion on the books, bearing in mind there are timeframes in play, and the longer we wait to get this addressed by the state government, the more opportunities there are for other people potentially I will now put the motion of a deferral. You've heard a little bit of debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour of a deferral? Those against? The motion is lost, Councillor Bishop. So I'll just take those four and have that noted. Those in favour is Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie and Councillor Boglari. Those against are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Williams. Thank you, Councillor Bishop. We'll move back to the motion on the books. We've had Councillor Tolte speak for the motion, so a speaker against a question. Okay, speaker against the motion, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and it's now with great reluctance that I commence what would be a 5-minute period to address a very complex issue. We are ostensibly...
Sorry, does that time start now, Madam Mayor? Or...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to just clarify, first of all, that we are making a very simple decision. If we look simply on, just as background reference, this is the application that is sitting above, as the officer said before. It's on this block of land here. Now, it relates to a parcel of land which is right next to an existing mobile park. Since 1969, it existed as a mobile park with very happy residents there for a long period of time. A transfer change in ownership occurred in 2012-2013, and a new owner took possession of not only that property but the property next door, which was significantly vegetated along the lines of what it's currently acknowledged as bushland habitat of significance. There was a process that went on where there were many requests to officers about the potential clearing of that land. I have some documentation on some of those discussions that have occurred, transactions that have taken place between officers and various persons. It's led me to be of the view that the clearing and even the application that allowed this clearing for a dwelling house has us in a position now where the land that we're looking at is significantly cleared. I'll give you just an example of the photograph here in 2012 of the land as it was, significantly treed with many significant koala habitat trees numbering 26 and the meterage being over 200 metres of significant koala habitat trees. Now, there was an agreement under Planning Scheme Version 5.1, Redlands Planning Scheme, under the SPRP that required an offset planting, and there actually is in this, I have here somewhere, a drawing of offset planting as agreed by the owners at that time under Version 5.1. Subsequently, there was a minor amendments package which we, councillors, agreed to. It changed significantly the amount of vegetation required, and what was agreed under that dwelling house permit, what was agreed was a level of planting which would have at least ensured some of the 44 identified existing species would have been able to have some chance of survival, if not having a corridor in perpetuity. That's gone now. The minor amendment planning scheme changes came through, I think they were voted on in April, and they took place under version 5.2 on the 13th of June. Basically, that meant there was no requirement for the offset planting to take place on that site, which has now left us with a site that looks, to all intents and purposes, like this, which is what we're voting on today. And it is a significant change in the vegetation on that land. Regrettable. Understand that developers have absolute right to be able to do as they wish. The dwelling house, which came and went as an application twice, is no longer before us. What we have before us is an application for 43 dwelling units. Now, sorry, that's the application that sits above this, which we will vote on subsequently after this change. There's an issue at stake here, and clearly, as plain as the nose on our face, we can't say that that is high habitat quality bushland, which is currently what it's zoned as. So legally, we'd be fools. Morally, there's a different discussion and consideration that I think we need to take into account. In the 5 minutes I have, and I know I'm coming to a close for that five-minute window, I would just like to acknowledge that this has not only resulted in the removal of a significant amount of habitat for native fauna, the changes that have occurred through the development application and the changes to that caravan park where people since 1969 have had their home and have been able to live with some of the most supported and nurturing environments in houses that are hundreds of thousands of dollars less than the starting price for affordable accommodation. They've been pushed out of our city. And I have to say and speak on the moral grounds as a son of a father who lived in the caravan park for many years before being encouraged to leave that and lived on the streets, that we will be losing people from our city. And this does highlight incredibly the importance for us all to consider diversification of our housing solutions. I will come to a close, but I'd just like to say that the economic change that's occurred here, the background that we have effectively facilitated with the minor amendments package, has facilitated a change which is, in my view, regrettable, unforeseen, certainly something that if I'd known as a local councillor that this offset would not have looked after the habitat in the area and the animals that live on it, I would never have supported. I will not support this on moral grounds, and while I don't have planning grounds, I would urge my fellow councillors to take this as an opportunity to think broadly about the importance of diverse accommodation solutions for our future. I know that's off topic, but I cannot support this, and I have grave concerns about how we got to this situation. I'll end here. Thank you.
Thank you. I did give you lots of latitude. You didn't actually talk to the item as such, but I appreciate your concerns about what's happened, as do all of us. Councillor Beard, Speaker 4.
Yeah, reluctantly, Madam Mayor, thank you. No one in the room wants to support this. We all agree entirely with what the Councillor Bishop is saying. But the fact is, I don't want to play chess against this bloke. He simply used current legal state planning and council planning to outmanoeuvre the situation that he found himself in. He was very smart, morally, another question perhaps, but he used the law. He used what was perfectly legal, and what he's asked us to do is, as the Councillor Bishop said, we'd be fools to do anything other than support the motion, although, as I said, no one wants to support it, but the reality is that we have no choice at this point in time. But certainly the amendment which seeks to try to close this loophole in the future is the only thing that we can do now that will make any sense.
Speaker against? If I could just comment, Councillor Elliott.
More of a question through you to David. If this was next year and the scheme was approved, would this change?
I can't comment on the draft planning scheme, of course. What we need to look at is the Koala SPRP, because it was the Koala SPRP that specifically excluded clearing for domestic activity. So the question is, how does the SPRP deal with that question more so than the planning scheme?
If the scheme in public consultation, if a submission was made, could we change the scheme? Is it under the present condition of the SPRP? Is there anything in the scheme we could change in public consultation, could you change it to change this?
Council absolutely has a right to adopt a planning scheme as it sees fit, but of course you do need to bear in mind that it will need to address state interests, one of which is the Koala SPRP, and I think that's the second point of the amended motion there, to deal with potential conflicts between state instrument and local planning instrument.
Okay. I think, and just further on, I think the trigger of the House is the key, and I really can't say any more because of the planning scheme. That's the problem. That is the problem. And I think it should be raised. This thing should be raised. Probably it's raised here today, but it should be raised tomorrow in the Met Council with the state MPs. They're the guys the three wise monkeys will be in the room tomorrow, so we can talk to them then.
I think you'll find that they won't have their head around a lot of.
To be wise.
No, sorry, I wasn't going to say that. Did you have a question as well, Councillor Boglary?
Oh, I think Councillor Elliott sort of summed it up, because to me it was a highly valued block. But under the current SPRP, they could clear it for a dwelling. They got that approval, but they've never built the house, so now they can come in and have it changed. So to me, that 30% for a dwelling house clearing has to be somehow married to that house being built, and not allowing it then to be a loophole to get it changed. And I just wanted to ask David, something like Councillor Elliott was suggesting, that the state government to do anything, one thing I've learnt, takes quite a while. So in the meantime, is there anything that we can do on our level so that now that we've found this loophole, that we can prevent it happening until the state do change the SPRP? If they change it?
Probably can't answer that question now. I have to take it on notice. We'd have to look at the planning scheme as it's written at the moment and see what potential changes could be undertaken by council. One of the issues will be that it will be a major amendment to the planning scheme, which will have to go through a state interest check in itself. So there's going to be a timing issue around that, and whether will be more efficient to deal with it through the new scheme if council wishes to do so.
It'd just be a shame now that we know the loopholes there that other people, you know, use it, and we can't just polyfill it up, unfortunately.
Quick question, Councillor Bishop, and then Councillor.
Yes, just in conversation yesterday with officers, one of the things that I was surprised, alarmed to hear is that in reality, right across the north end of the city at least, any SPRP zoning would be highly contestable currently, apparently under high-value habitat, and in fact even the land there as it was, the trees as they were, would currently, because of that change from version 5.1 in our planning scheme, changes that we as councillors made, the current changes would mean...
Is this a question?
It is a question.
Okay.
So the current changes that we made means that it would be very difficult to actually identify that any land is of high-value bushland habitat in the north end of the city. Is that correct? Just that land, this particular block of land, would probably now, I was told yesterday afternoon, that it would be valued, even if it wasn't clear.
Well, we'll let the officer respond. I think he gets the gist of your question, so we'll let the officer respond.
The changes to the planning scheme that Councillor Bishop refers to were made in 2013, and they were for the offset arrangements. Version 5.1 had an offset arrangement of one tree per metre that was removed. That was changed by Council resolution in February 2013, and the reason for the change was that provision within the scheme was considered to be unreasonable. It wouldn't pass the reasonable and relevant test when imposing conditions. The change that was brought about in 2013 was to go from one tree per metre lost to one tree per 400 square metres on the site. So that's the change that occurred around the offset arrangements. The discussion yesterday afternoon around the Koala SPRP was to do with the definitions of bushland habitat versus rehabilitation. And they're quite specific provisions within the SPRP, and the advice from environmental officers was that even before this block was cleared, it probably met the definition of rehabilitation more so than bushland habitat when you consider the actual wording within the definitions. So that was the conversation yesterday.
Yes, it just meant that the clarification was that there was offset planting that would have occurred on site, but with that change, that planting will now not occur as the offsets policy changed.
That is correct, because the resulting vegetation that remains on the site met that provision of one koala habitat tree per 400 square metres.
Question, Councillor Elliott?
No,
okay. Look, I think Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just for the benefit of the public, there seems to be a contradiction between our Local Law 6 and this 30% removal of land on this property. Local Law 6 dictates that we can't remove a tree 10 metres within your house, from your house, and yet...
You can remove up to
10 metres, but...
So, Councillor, I think this might be a discussion for another time. We can take up Mayor Councillor. It's
no,
not relevant to
I just wondered why can I remove 30% of trees on a property and yet... houses that are well away, a lot further away than 10 metres from the building block, the building envelope.
So I think we'll take this one on notice. This is a definite SPRP, state government regulation, that we're trying to tackle.
Oh, and just quickly, the other question I had is, I mean, is this something that Councillor Bishop could call in, get the state minister to call it in for a decision? Because it's SPRP, it's a fairly strong overlay, I would have thought.
It's across the whole city.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Look, I just wanted to highlight the frustration that we had with the local government level when we're dealing with planning, and we get kicked on regular occasions because many of these things are out of our control. Morally, the right thing to do is to try and prevent this happening again via containing the outcomes, and the only way to effectively do that is to lobby the state to fix it Despite the fact that we'd all like to refuse this particular request today, it would be challenged. It would be challenged at the cost to the ratepayer, and you would have absolutely no chance of proving your case in a planning and environment court. We need to change legislation, and we need to do that quickly, and that's what's really important, I think. We get those conversations going, and in my comings across various ministers and senior bureaucrats, I have talked about the conflict with our local planning instruments and state policy. And my view is, if the state government wants to control planning, they should control planning completely, or they should give it back to the community to have some say. And that's what we're talking about today in resulting with this particular motion. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up, and we'll move on with the vote.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as Councillor Bishop mentioned, this particular motion today is about reflecting the vegetation classification that it currently exists on the ground on the site, and that has been verified by environmental reports. The concerns that councillors raised with regard to this were in ensuring that an appropriately sized habitat connection was re-established on the site, and that opportunity is not lost. It will come when we assess the application for the construction of the caravan dwelling houses. So at this stage, this is not the time to be able to achieve that, and therefore we have the recommendation that sits before us, and I recommend it as the best option at the moment for councillors.
That counts. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. And clearly some councillors don't want to see the change. Those in favour? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie. Those against? Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Boglari, and Councillor Bishop. Moving on, I'll be asking those councillors to provide their alternative motion for us to discuss at Mayor Councillor later. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, pardon me. I was in favour of that. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Thanks, Liz. Moving on to 11.3.1. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to present that? Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.3.1, please.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. We go through this process every year. It's just to allow purchasing of some goods on a sole supplier basis.
Speakers against, councillors? Question, Councillor Elliott? Councillor Elliott, and I'll come back to Councillor Bogari.
Just through you, Mayor, to Lex. To Mr. Smith, acting GM for something or other. 29, page 4 of 6, Sibelco. The supplier supplies hydrated lime used at Council's wastewater treatment plants. It's the only supplier in Australia of this product. Is that really right? Or is they the only people? If they decided to withdraw that from Council for whatever reason, where do we go from there?
I'll take that one on notice, I think, Councillor. Thank you.
I think it's fair to say that Lex is filling in for Gary today, and that's a tough question, take it on notice.
Okay, yeah, I did ask it. Well,
you didn't. I don't think you asked it when the officers entered the room.
Pardon me, Lex, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But it's just one of those I saw there that's a particular product that really affects this sort of thing, Logan, and it's only hydrated lime, and I was quite surprised. Yeah.
So that it possibly comes under other criteria as what classifies a sole supplier. We'll get some information to you. Councillor Boglari?
Again, just a question through CEO or Lex. I just wanted to ask that a lot of these, we're going back with them because without going out to tender, because they are the sole supplier or we've already got them. And it's work also to be done on their parts, like renewal. Sometimes you can buy a home brand thing, though, like the back of my ute's got a ding. I've been told if I don't get the one from Toyota, but I get one from somewhere else, it'll be cheaper. Have we actually looked into that, though, or are we just, like, in tenders, where does that go when we are going out?
CEO will respond.
Thank you.
Lex, I'll take this one on there. Look, Councillor Bulgari, we consistently go out to the market and across the thing looking for products that fit and are best in the whole of life cost. Some of the issues you see, and I'll use just your example of a car thing, when you buy manufactured in backyards, you tend to avoid warranties, you tend to maybe put in other things. So the same sort of things with any of these. Where we can seek products for our water, waste treatment, or any aspect of council at a cheaper and competitive price that gives us a whole of life cost, we will investigate those. In this case, you'll see through there, there's some 30-plus suppliers of various products, and whilst we may think that we are a large organisation in southeast Queensland, a lot of these pipes and manufacturing type stuff are very small markets across the country, so there usually only is one in those. So again, through our process, whenever we tender, we do look for alternates that don't fit the specification, and we do look at the whole of life cost. And as that old sort of thing is, you can buy some cheap cars and some cheap products, the home brand, and you do sacrifice on some quality, but all that's taken into account, and our processes, which we're continuously reviewing, and if you'll note of our last audit committee, we are also doing a major revamp of our procurement process to make sure that we are getting best value for it and topical ways. And I think just as an explanation, for example, the new contract we have for our photocopying is something like 45% cheaper for a similar, and if you've used it, hopefully you're starting to see the benefits. It's a much, she's looking at me across closed glasses.
Not after my episode with the photocopier yesterday, that wasn't a good example to use.
Okay, well, 9 times out of 10 it works, and it works for me. So, again, they're the examples where we do look, and we're not just staying with our incumbent suppliers and looking if we can get better value.
I appreciate that. It's just that, you know, we've got to make sure with procurement and tenders that it really is transparent, and I just wanted to have that said publicly when we're talking about just going back with the same people. Thank you.
Any further discussion, councillors? I'll go back to Councillor Gleeson to sum up, if I may.
Nothing bad. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.3.2, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.3.2, which is the renewal of beach access, South George Point Lookout.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report, but essentially it's just an agreement to spend yet more money on Division 2.
Okay, Councillor. Hello. All right.
But he should withdraw that, Mayor. That
thank you. Totally Councillor Gleeson, please refrain from being parochial. Thank you. And I'll leave that message to all councillors in the room. Thank you, Councillor. Enough now, Councillor.
Point of order, he didn't withdraw it. He's just had another go.
Councillor Gleeson, in the order of good business, would you please withdraw your comment?
I withdraw my comment, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Moving on, Speaker against. I've got two comments, Councillor Tolte and Councillor Ogilvie.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy for him to say it. The more he says it, the better for me.
Oh, didn't I get a second of that? My apologies. Before I seconded Councillor Bishop. Thank you. I thought... pretty sure Councillor Edwards seconded it. So, and Councillor Gleeson spoke to it, which then he had to retract his comment. So, Councillor Ogilvie, you have the floor.
Madam Chair, just to quickly illustrate the situation, it's a fairly simple one. The beach that this access leads to is one of the most loved and iconic beaches on Stradbroke Island. It's the subject of many a photo that you may see in tourism brochures. The access was washed out through a quite extraordinary rain event. When I say extraordinary, it's not to be unexpected that it will happen again. So it was important that council looked at that rain event and worked out what the short, medium and long term approach was to making sure that access to that area was guaranteed. Done that, done the right reports, done the right investigations, and I'm confident now that we're moving forward to get the right solution. It's not without its complexities. The community on the island has been sort of screaming that we do something immediately and get it done because it's such an important place for the tourism industry over there. But because of Coastal Marine Protection Agency Action, Coastal Marine Protection Act, and the fact that it sits within a heritage reserve, it means that various permits and so forth needed to be considered. So I'm glad to see that we are moving forward. I hope the work can be done in time for the Christmas period, if not the September school holidays. And I thank Council for understanding the situation.
Comment, Councillor Tolte, or speaking?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I agree. We do have to support this. And I just wanted to note that the structure had sat without an issue for some 15 years, and that it was an extraordinary rain event that washed it out. But given that we've had extraordinary 1 in 100 rain events quite frequently lately, no one can be quite sure exactly how this will play out. But the work that the officers have done in identifying what can be done and to make it safe again is excellent. And given the transitions that are happening on Stradbroke Island, we need to support the tourism and wedding industry that's very significant there. And from what I understand, a lot of people like to go to this area and have their photographs taken for their weddings. So this has a broader impact than just accessing the beach. As Councillor Ogilvie mentioned, it supports the economic viability of the island.
Councillor Edwards.
I'd just like to say we're really a city of coastlines, mainland coastlines, island coastlines, and one of the problems we're always facing is slope stabilisation, erosion through the water. So this is just really, to me, it's a business as usual. It happens all over the city, and we have to keep on top of it, and that's the cheapest way. So I don't see any issue with this being taken care of or anywhere else on our foreshores.
Councillor Bishop.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Just a comment, yeah?
Yeah, it is. Just in agreement with all of those who've spoken for, and just to the Portfolio Chair for Infrastructure, this leads to North Stradbroke Island Surf Life Saving Club. And if we don't take some measures, and our officers are going to be extraordinary with the way they do this, this is an extremely cheap expenditure. If we don't do this, the potential for the undermining of that road and for us to not have access or for them to not have access to the rest of the world is probably one of the most ridiculously short-sighted things that we could consider. So I hope you think about city infrastructure in a more inclusive way in future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Gleeson?
No more to add. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 12, councillors, is the mayoral minute. And if I could just... I did quickly distribute one this morning prior to the meeting. I was trying to work with Councillor Ogilvie's motion that was discussed yesterday, and albeit that I offered an opportunity to discuss this with Councillor Ogilvie, didn't take me up on that opportunity, but in talking to the officers who are dealing with this is probably a more effective way of establishing the urgency that we need to encourage the state in the transition of North Stradbroke Island out of the mining economy. So there's the motion, councillors, and I'm more than happy for Councillor Ogilvie to have a chat to this as well, as I haven't had a chance to have a discussion with him this morning, nor did we yesterday. But I guess what became apparent to me late yesterday evening is that the state government is desperately trying to make a move on the economic transition of North Stradbroke Island. I've got a list here of people that I've spoken to over the last 3 years in regards to that issue. But what seems to be happening is that there's different officers at state government level talking to officers within our organisation, and the timeframes are very short, and we're not having any consistency or coherent approach. I thought the most effective way for us to be influential and perhaps drive some outcomes was to have that agency or interdepartmental group working across four departments of state government that are responsible for the transition of the economy from North Stradbroke Island, to have them come and present to us. Many of the documents that Councillor Ogilvie articulated in his amendment to the motion, which hasn't been seen by, I don't believe yet by the public gallery, have already been provided. And in fact, I found out last night that most of those, the items that have been raised, have already been implemented into 180 actions that they're hoping to take forward. So hence this motion, and I'm happy to open up to discussion and questions, because I know we haven't had a lot of time to discuss the format of this, but the timeframes that were stipulated in the amendment will well and truly miss the boat if we're going to have any influence on what's happening at the state government level. So I'll open up for discussion. Councillor Tolsey, then Councillor Ogilvie.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've got this mayoral minute, and then Councillor Ogilvie has a motion listed later in the agenda for basically both are trying to achieve the same thing. I'm happy to support this. It is talking comprehensively about bringing the two levels of government together to try to drive the best outcomes for the community, both the mainland community and the Stradbroke community, as the government drives this transition. And there are a breadth of concerns that we have to take into consideration, and to be across all of those matters is going to be challenging, and with the timeframes available, even more so. So, yes, I think that this is definitely provides a practical plan for ensuring that we can start to have influence over what's happening at the state level to the benefit of the community in Stradbroke.
Councillor Ogilvie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I have to humbly disagree with you, Councillor. I think, in fact, that this motion, if anything, is a motion to do nothing at a time when the Stradbroke Island community deserves a lot better, in fact needs a lot better than that from council. Like most of you, I just got the motion immediately prior to the meeting, or some of you are only seeing it now for the first time. I quickly, after pulling it off the photocopier, went to look for the action words in the motion, which is a little thing I do to work out what we're actually going to do. So five dot points in the motion that's put to you there by the Mayor. The first is that we get a presentation from the State Government, nothing particularly earth-shattering in that. The third is that we will then consider the information, nothing particularly earth-shattering in that. The fourth is that we reconfirm our commitment to working with them, and the fifth is that we reconfirm our concern about the timeframes that have been put in place for transition. So other than presentations and considering their presentation and reconfirming a couple of different things that we've already expressed, the only other action item there is that we're going to forward outstanding plans that refer to Stradbroke Island. You can see that there at dot point two. Frankly, it's not good enough, in my opinion, at a time when Stradbroke Island, as I said, deserves and needs a lot more. My suggestion in the motion that I put to you a little bit later is that we prepare an actual funding proposal. What we know is that, as I found out too in discussions late yesterday afternoon, is that the state government is moving quite quickly to effect some kind of transition process, and that they are already considering and taking on board proposals. It would make absolute sense if that they are doing that, that we should be in that space. I don't know if most of you probably wouldn't have read the former state government, not the Newman government, but the Bligh government's planning for action. It's full of action plans. If you look through the action plans, you'll see that a lot of the stuff that's in there affects us as a council. So we're talking about things, simple things like tourism and marketing. Obviously, that's going to be us on the ground. Things like information, interpretation, inspiration, events, programs, and so forth, all will affect us on the ground. But they also talk about the need to address core infrastructure needs, which make for economic transition, and getting a planning process for appropriate infrastructure in place. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, as a council, our land tenure covers a number of the tourism hotspots on the island. And we therefore are going to be involved. The important thing is whether we're involved passively, i.e. waiting for them to come to us, considering the information, and by the way, here's a bunch of plans that we prepared earlier, or we get on the front foot and get active. And I would suggest to you that we need to get very active very quickly, especially if the information I got yesterday afternoon, which is that they're considering these proposals over the next few weeks, is true. What we need to do is get forward, get in that space, get a funding proposal, and we need to perhaps consider that as a council. We need to put that into our capital works program, and need to put it into that operational plan, and that proposal needs to be the basis of future discussions. And the reason why we need to do a proposal rather than just, as at dot point three suggests, forward outstanding plans, is because the planning that we have in this council for things on Stradbroke Island would be a stack that high. I'm not kidding. It would be at least that high. I've got a bookshelf full of stuff that discusses Stradbroke Island, whether it be the commercial use of public open space strategy, our own open space strategy, whether it's the master plans for Cylinder Beach, master plans for the headland. There's a stack of documents, and the idea that in a space where the state government is moving as quickly as it is, that it is good enough for just us to passively pass on the stack of plans that exists and hope that they will get it right is just, frankly, in my opinion, shirking our responsibilities to the situation we're presented with and to the island. I would recommend that you reject this motion. I recommend that you would then vote for the motion that I put. The principal difference is simple. One has no actions other than to put forward plans. The other is to prepare a proposal that takes the best, the lowest hanging fruit out of what we've already got, and gets on the front foot and starts negotiating with the state government in an environment that is moving very quickly.
Speaker 4. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just like to take a couple of points away. I think when we're talking about funding proposal, we're really talking about the state to fund proposals. We're not talking about council to fund, so that's probably something important to clarify. I wish there was some urgency from the state government in regards to Simbi, but I don't want to be parochial. But one of the things that we have to be aware of as councillors is to make decisions as wherever possible, be fully aware of the circumstances. And what I particularly like about this motion is item one, to have all the facts presented to us. And until we receive all the facts and understand where the state government is going, how close they are doing, we can't really make that decision, because there's no point in going and duplicating things that are already being done or something that's already being planned. We're just wasting our time. We need to understand where the state government is. Now, I'm sure the Divisional Council might be all over it, but I can tell you I'm not, and I'd really like to have the state government present to us, show us exactly what's planned, where they're going, what the costs are, and then we should be doing our own gap analysis and saying, what's missing? Where can we fit in and present to them what needs to be done? So, to me, I think that's the most essential thing to be done, so that's why I'll be supporting this. Merrill Minute.
Speaker against? Councillor Bishop?
I feel an election coming on.
Councillor, reserve your comments to the motion in front of you.
Well, I mean, of course, I'll speak against it to give me an opportunity to speak to this issue. I think we're all in violent agreement. We need action. We need to move forward. Supporting any information from the state is essential right now. We need to get as much information as we possibly can. We do need to move as quickly as we can. In relation to the comment yesterday, with regards to the discussion yesterday, I note that Councillor Ogilvie was just trying to put this issue on the agenda and start a conversation. I'm very grateful that we have that. I'm grateful that you've raised this notice of the Mayoral Minute, encouraging the state to talk with us. I think that conversations from Simbi can flow from that, hopefully. Hopefully we can all be in violent agreement that what we need is to do some stuff. I'm going to support this. I'm also going to support Councillor Ogilvie's... Yeah, I am. I'm speaking against it, but I'm letting you know that I'll vote for it. Because the way it came about was a councillor came to us yesterday, if I may address the issue which was raised before, a councillor came to us yesterday with an open opportunity to ask for funds. In the conversation and the henpecking that happened after that, that resulted in the discussion not being forwarded, we've now come up with something which is useful. That's good. I want to speak against the way that all happened, because a councillor came forward saying it's not our job to be overly prescriptive and descriptive.
Excuse me, Mayor, point of order, this is not what the item's about. I think we're going off track.
Yeah, it's not for us to be overly prescriptive or descriptive of what the officer's work is to do. Councillor Ogilvie's suggestion yesterday was to open this discussion, and we as councillors should have been supporting that, and the fact that it didn't go that way, it's now resulted in a solution that hopefully we can all move forward. Hopefully we'll all support this, and hopefully we'll all support Councillor Ogilvie's notice of motion when it comes. Thanks.
Speaker 4. Councillor Hardman.
Yes, I'm happy to support this Mayoral Minute here. I agree with everything that Councillor Edwards has said, but also want to point out dot point E, which is the consideration of other sources of funding beyond the $20 million. $20 million is not enough for the transition of Strati in this hard time for them, and I think the importance of that consideration right there of dot point E is critical in their future development. So I'm happy to support this.
Question, Councillor Bulgari?
Can I be the ham in the sandwich on this one?
whatever type of filling you like, Councillor.
Thank you. Stradbroke, we've all known that mining was going to close down, and it's been really disappointing that we have not been included along the pathway to get this economic transition happening. I did ask several questions a couple of years ago. Committees are formed, state government's taken over, and this is where we're left now, because we've been in the dark, and I can feel the absolute angst from the divisional councillor where he feels that there has been this lack of action, and I also feel it too. I acknowledge that the Mayoral Minute has come today after, you know, Councillor Ogilvie did bring this up yesterday, but so that we can get the benefits of both your Mayoral Minute and his motion, can I ask you to put more of the verbs, more of the doing words into your Mayoral Minute, and would you consider making an amendment to your Mayoral Minute to make it more palatable to the local councillor, with action actually going to be taken, with having some of his words about preparing, if you don't like the word funding proposal, prepare a funding list or something, so that there is an action going to come out of it, so that we there is an... Well, I can see that I think you and the councillor and all councillors here actually want the same thing, and it would be nice to have a cohesive way forward, and we're all going one way, and so I'm just trying to get that.
Thank you. Well, just to put it into perspective, I did speak to General Manager Organisational Services last night. I did try to provide an amendment to the motion prior to coming up with a mayoral minute, and I'll certainly have Nick Clark actually talk to that. Unfortunately, because of the way the standing orders were, that it didn't actually meet the requirements, so that was my only option. Can I just say that item three, consider the it doesn't say that we won't go ahead with the proposal, but what we need to do is be informed first. So I did actually attempt everything you said, Councillor Boglar. I also took on board your concerns that you wanted to be briefed on all things North Stradbroke Island, which I've built into that. And if I could also say that I did offer the opportunity for discussion at our meeting yesterday, but Councillor Ogilvie refused that opportunity to further workshop this around the table. And then when I spoke to officers later in the afternoon about what was happening, I was pretty surprised that, by the way, there is a draft document already out there that we want feedback on that is the funding proposal for about $20 million. So there is urgency in getting a briefing from the agencies to understand where we're at, what is Council's role, where is the committee, the North Stradbroke Island Economic Transition Group, what is the governance structure, what are the other opportunities for funding, as has been highlighted by Councillor Hardman, other than relying on just local government and state government. So with that, I have tried to be inclusive, but Councillor Ogilvie didn't take that opportunity up yesterday to have that discussion around the table. So I'm happy for Nick Clark to confirm and the CEO that I did try to amend the motion, but unfortunately...
I meant not amend Councillor Ogilvie's motion. I mean actually just amend your mayoral minute to include what he is after so that it's...
Consider the information presented before allocating council resources in preparing further submissions. So we just need to understand where the state's at before we actually put together a proposal, because otherwise we're just duplicating, because here is the proposal. It's a draft document. So I am actually trying to take that on board, Councillor. Bill, would you like to respond?
Just to confirm the question that was done, my understanding is Councillor Ogilvie has a resolution or a proposal he'd like to put in 14.2.1. We're aware that Councillor Ogilvie is proposing an amendment to that. Under our standing orders, when the Mayor talked to us around proposing additional amendments under the standing orders, which Nick confirmed, we can't actually do that. So you can only do another amendment. So it would have needed some compromise or some agreement partway through. So the option was identified to the Mayor that she may bring a mayoral minute and leave the other matter for Craig. Councillor Ogilvie to amend as need be. So that's our standing orders and the interpretation of only one amendment at the time.
Councillor Ogilvie?
Just regarding that, without that point about not being able to amend motions once they've been amended, I went back to the standing orders and it says that, you know, 10.3, amendment of a motion, says that no other amendment to a motion can be considered until after the first amendment has been put. Now, what that would suggest, quite simply, is that you can have further amendments to a motion, but you first need to put the amendment that's in front of you to the vote. It says you can put another amendment, but it can't be put until after the first amendment has been put. So just keep that in mind as we go forward in this wonderful world of standing orders and governance of meetings.
Yep, I'm more than happy to take that on board. I'll have Nick respond to that, and if we want to change the standing orders to be more reflective of actual outcomes, then we have an opportunity to look at any amendments to that. But I did seek advice from Nick and from the CEO as the best way to move forward with an amendment.
Yes, Madam Mayor, you did. My advice was more specifically in relation to an amendment to a motion must be in the terms which retain the general intent of the original motion. Ultimately, that's a decision for you to make on the floor, but it appeared that the original motion or the notice of motion from the councillor in its original form of two lines was very different from the your intention to bring your mayoral minute forward today.
All right, so further discussion on the mayoral minute in front of us, councillors. Councillor Tolbert.
Sorry, I just want one more question, if I may. The document that you've got there, I noticed when you held it up it had priority list there. Can we actually get that? Is that a confidential document or can councillors...
It is at this point. It's something that I managed to get my hands on late last night, which is in draft form. I would hope that when we get... I'm hoping we'll get the state government representatives out here like next week. That would be my intention, for them to go through all of these sorts of documents, which I'm just discovering as well, which is why it's really important that we get all this information before we move forward on anything. Because I just want to reiterate, this is not our decision. We're left as the ham and the sandwich, and we have to make a feast out of this somehow for our residents. So we need that information before we go any further, in my view, to be effective.
That was the second part of my question. Is there a time frame that there are, if that document's, we don't know how long that document's been circulating, is there a time frame on weeks or whatever before we've got to get that?
My understanding is that they want to have something more concrete by the end of the month. That's my understanding. Nothing in writing. So I guess I'm trying to also talk to the fact that I think in the motion we were asking for a report back by November, the amended motion. I think we're trying to achieve the same thing here. I just think we need to inform ourselves, as you asked for yesterday, Councillor Borghlari, to be briefed on what exactly is happening. So I'm back to the motion in front
just
of you, Councillor.
A question for you, Madam Chair. If you've been told that we've been required or that they're trying to formulate something by the end of the month, do you not think that it's appropriate that we actually formulate something as quickly as possible, a proposal?
Absolutely, once we get that information as to where they're at, yep.
I think you just said you had the information.
No,
you're
I don't have anything
by the end of the month.
I don't have anything formal, Councillor. That's why we need to have an urgent meeting, an urgent presentation.
We're going to hang ourselves on informal versus formal and presentations and information. We know what we know, and we know that sooner or later we're going to have to put to them a proposal.
I don't believe that is necessary action. I think they actually have the information that you are articulating in your amendment, Councillor, and they've already started to use that. Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to raise the motion itself, or the mayoral minute itself. Councillor Borghlari asks for some verbs, and I would like to point out that it actually has quite a number of adjectives as well as some verbs, and if I could raise the adjectives first.
Point of order, Mayor.
Point of order.
This is serious. This is not school teaching.
Excuse me,
Councillor Elliott.
I have a point of order.
What is your point of order according to standing orders, Councillor?
Councillor Telty is well out of order on this one.
On what? In what respect, Councillor?
Well, going on about Bert, she's trying to trivialise this very important document.
Councillor, your point of order is not a point of order. Thank you, Councillor Tolte. She's just responding to her.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to raise that in point one, the mayoral minute asks for urgency and urgent presentation. In point B, it asks for relevant ministerial office contacts. In point C, it asks for short, medium and long-term actions. In point D, it asks us to consider other sources of funding beyond the $20 million. In point two, it asks for an action, a verb, to forward any outstanding plans. And in point three, it also asks us for the preparation of further submissions following the reception of that information. In point four, it asks us for a reconfirmation of the commitment to working with the state government. And in point five, it looks for sustainable economic outcomes. So I believe that everything that is being asked for is represented in this document. And if we're going to talk on semantics, the next motion to come forward talks about a funding proposal when it should talk about a proposal for funding. Thank you.
All right, councillors, let's get back to the motion, if we could. Councillor Elliott, Speaker, is it just a comment or are you speaking against it? Yeah.
I can see your point, but I would have thought at this time, if Councillor Ogilvie hadn't put this on the agenda, how long would it be before we hit the rocks? You know, this...
Madam Mayor, can I raise a point of order? I'd like to know the relevance of this to the mayoral minute that's in front of us, please.
Councillor Elliott, can you please talk to the mayoral minute in front of you?
Thank you, Ms Telty.
Councillor Tolte.
Oh, Councillor Tolte.
That is a standing order requirement.
Oh, is it?
Thank you.
Really and truly. Yeah, that's why things don't get done in this world. We have so many standing orders. The motion is the usual, you know, and I agree with Councillor Ogilvy. I'd like to see this work together. I sat at a meeting yesterday between you two, and it didn't seem to be that big a deal. Suddenly, you know, a government presentation comes in. I'm happy if you and Councillor Ogilvy, the local council, knows the place backwards over there, sort it. You know, we're going to have a presentation, it'll come here, it'll be 3 weeks and stuff like that. I think you're doing one thing, and be honest, I think that's the bureaucratic, you know, standard issue. We'll form a committee if we're going to make a decision. The council rogue is asked and his that it be, you know, an action plan. Surely we can meld that and this proposal, as Councillor Bulgari just said before, into this, you know, as a simple thing. Simple in three, I think it's two. Put a couple of words in there. I think it'll satisfy everybody. Otherwise, this is just a bureaucratic statement. And I thought we'd be on top of it. I honestly thought that you, the man, Councillor Bulgari, would have been on top of this, and it appears that I know as much as you do. Nothing.
Let me respond, Councillor.
Well, no. I don't think so. It's my turn.
Okay, well, go for it. Well, now talk to the mayoral minute.
You produced a document that we didn't have yesterday, and I'm quite surprised that that's brought up here. So, you know, I can't even get the computer set up yet at the moment. But I see this very, very late in the piece, but certainly cannot we at this time put this together? We can't change Council Ogilvy's, we've been told by the CEO. Certainly we could put a couple of words in there that would put this through, and I'm happy to vote for it.
So what's your suggestion, Councillor Elliott? Let's hear what you'd like to see added.
I'm suggesting a couple of words in two, I think it is. I can hardly see it because I haven't got the document in front of me. Thank you, I have now. Thank you, Councillor Telfy. That it's, you know, it's, where is it, two, forward, any outstanding plans? Can't we put some projects in there? I think the word was shovel-ready projects. And I'm sure Councillor Ogilvy would rattle off 30 if Councillor Gleeson let him. We could do that, and it's simple. It's all together, and put it together.
It's actually covered in any other documents, but I'm more than happy to articulate that further. And if I could just add that the motion that came to us was never discussed with me or any officer before it was actually created. I would have been more than happy to sit down and talk to Councillor Ogilvy about the opportunities and the work that's been done in that space, and how we can work together to collaborate on getting an outcome. So I'm more than happy to add those words, Councillor Elliott, if you could put that suggestion. You want some shovel-ready projects, which, by the way, are in most of the documents that have been forwarded to them already.
Well, why are we bothering? But
okay, my gaze. All right, look. Can I just? I'm really. We are trying to achieve the same thing here. I took advice from officers who hadn't been consulted on the notice of motion by Councillor Ogilvy either. And I asked them to go away and find the information as to where we're at. It came to my attention that much has been done already, and we need to make sure we don't duplicate, because we don't have time, we don't have the resources. It's not our decision to end mining on North Stradbroke Island, but we have to make sure we place our city and the residents of North Stradbroke Island in the best possible place through this transition process. And that's simply what I'm trying to achieve by being informed first and then putting forward those proposals secondly.
Can I just reply now that, as I said before, that if it was that important, this should have been leading edge stuff. We don't have to go and find an officer at 4:30 in the afternoon to say, here's the program. Like, I didn't know about this. I'm just saying.
With greatest respect, that motion council that was put forward could have meant 3,000 things to 3,000 people.
I'm saying that it didn't appear to me that you're up to speed on it, and I'm not accusing you of not being up to speed, that you weren't advised or whatever. This critical thing. It just seems to me bizarre.
I'm not a member of the state government.
That there's major things happening over the creek, and we've got to wait till this happens before something's done.
With the greatest respect, and I will take your comments, councillors, but just let me tell you what has been done, because it doesn't require a council motion to put forward documents to the state and lobby the state for effective outcomes on any of our communities. So let me just outline what has been done over the last 3 years. By the way, the election wasn't happening in 2012 when I first wrote to the then Premier Campbell Newman raising concerns regarding an effective response to the planning and current and future needs of North Stradbroke Island. On the 12th of December 2012, I wrote again to Premier Newman highlighting urgent need for government to resolve current and future planning and infrastructure issues on North Stradbroke Island. On the 9th of December 2013, I wrote to the Deputy Premier, Jeff Senior, requesting support to ensure smooth transition of North Stradbroke Island from mining to an alternative economy. I suggested government invest royalties from mining operations on the island into transitional planning to build the alternative economy. On the 28th of March 2014, I received a letter from the Deputy Premier Senior requesting that Redland City Council lead the economic transition with support from the government. We know how we felt about that, councillors, because it's not our issue. Most of the issues on the island is North Stradbroke, is state government led issues. I again wrote to the Deputy Premier Senior, applauding government support for establishment of an economic transition group and urged the government to provide the resources and for senior government ministers to lead the group. On the 29th of July, a letter from Deputy Premier Sini supporting the establishment of the group and suggestion that we jointly chaired by the Member for Cleveland and the Mayor, and committing senior departmental involvement through membership of Department of State Development, Infrastructure and Planning Deputy Director General Kathy Schaefer. In 2014, we actually established what we tried to get going was a transition group, as suggested by the Deputy Premier. We had a meeting in December, a quick one, just to try and establish the terms of reference so we could attract the membership required to make it happen, to get some actions. On the 10th of March 2015, I wrote to the new Tourism Minister, Kate Jones, requesting a meeting to discuss the NSI transition, and had a meeting on the 18th of June. All this time, councillors, I can tell you that not once has Councillor Ogilvie asked me to make any representations on his behalf or take forward any concerns. On the 23rd of March 2015, I met with the Minister for State Development, Dr Anthony Lynham, to discuss North Stradbroke Island transition
Chair,
and other issues.
I am, councillor,
because I've been told there's no action happening.
Chair, you're not relevant.
I am relevant, absolutely.
You're not relevant to the mayoral motion.
Thank you, councillor.
It's a point of order.
Thank you. Well, I'm ruling your point of order
And more importantly, you are making really, actually factually incorrect, but you're making aspersions about my role in all this.
Councillor, with the greatest respect...
Frankly, this is not a political platform for you to be going on about what you
Madam
want.
Mayor, I'm pretty
we're
sure
doing a mayoral motion.
We're doing a mayoral motion
that has a
speaking.
Very important intent.
Absolutely.
Do we put a proposal to the government
or not? This will be your last warning, or I'll ask you to leave the room. You're not to speak over the chair while they're talking. Thank you. That's in your standing orders, and it's been explained to you on a number of occasions. I'm telling you, after being told that there's an election coming and that there's been no action, that in fact there has been action since 2012. I'll finish off with the last three items that have been in course of doing my work as Mayor of the City and trying to ensure the best outcomes for North Stradbroke Island and the City. Thank you. I met with the Deputy Premier, Jackie Trad, to discuss other issues, including the North Stradbroke Island transition, and gave a personal commitment for us to work with them in trying to achieve any of those outcomes required through that transition period. On the 18th of June, I met with Minister Jones to discuss the North Stradbroke Island transition strategies and offered our support to helping to build an alternative economy, stressed that much of the work had been done, stressed the challenge with transition timelines, and urged the government to build on reports and work already done on the previous transition plan and go straight to the action plan rather than further consultation. At that point in time, I also handed her a copy of the newly adopted Redland City Council Tourism and Action Tourism Strategy and Action Plan, and suggested that she looks at that document and picks the items that would work well in building the economy of North Stradbroke Island. On the 22nd of June, I met with the Minister for Environment and Heritage Protection, and Councillor Ogilvie, you attended that meeting and you heard the discussion and
Chair,
you saw me hand
again,
over...
Once point of order
Thank
relevance
you.
To
I'm,
the motion.
Because we're talking about what's been done to date and how these documents have already added to us getting a briefing from the relevant Minister. July 2015, Mayor Wright... Councillor, I'll give you one more warning. I have got the Chair. Thank you.
Well, you're also speaking, which is the difficulty we have here with
well,
you
that's
being
right.
a speaker.
Well, that's right, and you
the
understand
the
standing
mayor.
Orders. You've been working under this regime for the last 12 years, Councillor. On July 2015, I wrote to Premier Palaszczuk, to the Deputy Premier Trad, and Ministers Jones, Lynham and Miles, giving her the commitment that of Council to work with the government of the stakeholders to ensure succession of transition planning. So, Councillor, regardless of when you think the election might have been called, I was working since 2012, Councillor Bishop, to ensure the well-being and movement on an economic transition out of North Stradbroke Island, regardless of when mining might cease. With that, I will say I've been steering the ship for a long time, and I totally appreciate that Councillor Ogilvie has concerns, but I've been doing that work, and the motion that came to us had no discussion with councillors, no discussion with officers, and with that we wanted to make sure we're going to be effective in that space at the time. Councillor, frankly, has missed the boat because a lot of this work has already been done, and it's generated in this document. So get all the facts, councillors. The issue is on the agenda. It's been on the agenda since we were elected in 2012, and I'll continue to make sure we get the best possible outcomes by working with the state government and articulating the concerns of the community. Thank you. Speaker 4. Councillor Beard.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to speak for the motion because I also want to make a submission to the state government with regard to shovel-ready projects and projects that may be considered by the state, but I want them to be targeted. It must be pointed out that the original motion that was put forward by Councillor Ogilvie, the two-line motion, presented to us yesterday for the first time for discussion, and as you've mentioned, was formulated without any discussion with councillors, with yourself or with officers. This whole event has come about because it became very clear yesterday.
That's not true. Sorry, I mean, you just...
You can... Councillor Beard has the floor. If you want to rebut that later, you can certainly do that.
Okay.
The motion that came forward to us yesterday, this whole discussion has come about because it was very clear that the original two-line motion was ambiguous in the minds of many councillors and was not going to be supported. At that meeting, the Mayor suggested that Councillor Ogilvie might consider adding to the motion to make it more clear and to make it supportable by the majority of councillors. And also at that meeting, offered Councillor Ogilvie the opportunity to meet with the Mayor and to the two of them to go through and produce a motion that was palatable to both. The councillor, for whatever reason, obviously decided against that meeting, and now we find ourselves in this very undignified situation where both councillors, both the Mayor and Councillor Ogilvie, are trying to achieve much the same thing, but for the sake of a little bit of goodwill, could have come together and made it a lot more dignified than it is that we're going through at the moment. I'm going to support the Mayor's motion.
Councillor speaking again, so I think you guys have all had a bite at the cherry. Standing orders have speakers for and against. Thank you. So I'll allow Councillor Ogilvie to respond to Councillor Beard, and with that we'll head to the vote, I believe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make it clear, as I explained yesterday morning, I think the reason I moved the motion was because I think there is an urgent need for us to get in this space, and I was fearing that we weren't getting in this space, a space that is moving extremely quickly. The intention was that we take advantage of an offer that was put to us, the Mayor and I, by the Minister, Dr. Stephen Miles, when we met with him recently. At that meeting, I put it to him exactly as I put to you this morning, that Council is going to be responsible lead agent for a number of reasons on a number of the actions that are needed to be done in order to enable an economic transition on Stradbroke Island, and that it made sense that we put to him a proposal and they consider that for immediate funding. At that meeting, his offsider said to me, what sort of things? I said, well, we've got a community hall there, for example, which is a wedding function centre and also a function space. It would really do really nicely with a short little track that went through the beach. His offsider said to me, fantastic. I was only there for a wedding 2 or 3 weeks ago. They're the sorts of things that would make a great difference to Stradbroke Island. I came away from that meeting. Unfortunately, nothing happened in that space. I have had corridor conversations with various officers since then, and yes, they have been working on a proposal of this sort. But what I know about proposals of this sort happening only in the corridors is that they don't happen unless that they are grunt of a formalised council motion is put in place to make sure that they eventuate. If you don't have a council motion, if you don't have it in the capital plan, here's a for you young councillors, if it's not in the capital plan, it's not in the operational plan, you don't have a formal motion of council, don't rest easy that you think it's going to happen. It needs to go through those sorts of processes, which is why I brought it here. So we had a formal ratification of the need to get into this space quickly. I think it was made clear yesterday that was the reason why I was doing it, and I don't see, for the life of me, why it should be politicised or made controversial. It seemed to me when I moved the motion that it was absolutely non-controversial, business-as-usual type stuff. and it was simply about putting in place something that needed to happen, would happen, should happen, at a formal level. Unfortunately, we are now going backwards because it has been politicised. Instead of putting a proposal, we are going to send a stack of documents probably metres high.
I'm going to just sum up, councillors, and put it to the vote. Just question, Councillor Boglary.
Thank you for your leniency. In point two, can I ask again, so that we go forward as a group of 11 Redland City, whole of city councillors, just to put in there, I've sent it through to Liz and I sent it through to Bill too if it went through on my phone. Just to put the words in, to prepare a funding proposal and forward any outstanding plans. And there we have everybody's, what everyone wants to achieve. And it, obviously, regardless with all the speeches, but yeah, regardless of all the speeches, it's obvious we're all on the same page here to help Stratty. So I'm just trying to get a...
I understand your intent. I don't believe it should be a funding proposal. It's a proposal for funding for a start, because this was the whole problem with the notice of motion. It wasn't clear on who was funding it. It was a funding proposal. It was a proposal for funding. Can I suggest that in item three, we can adjust that to allow for that to happen? But I would still encourage us to get a presentation, because what's clear to me...
Oh, definitely. We definitely... And I think it's shameful that the state government haven't kept
thank
us
you.
Along the way.
But as much as we made a comment was made to Minister Miles in regards to and through his senior officers there, I can tell you that that's not where all the conversation's coming from. It's coming from various departments. So we can make one comment to one particular minister and it's not being reiterated by another. And they're talking to different officers in this organisation who don't know they're being spoken to by. Mm-hmm. So we actually need to do that first. We need them out here next week. I'm more than happy to put a proposal based on what we get from them, because a lot of it's already been done.
I know. Yep, and I appreciate that. And I think when you and Councillor Ogilvie, you know, started a lot more discussions yesterday, we found there is an urgency of a couple of weeks if it's before the end of the month. So so that we're clear in our actions going forward to achieve this, we're going to get the presentation, we're going to get all the plans together, but have that in there that we're then going to really go home with the grunt of Councillor Ogilvie said, like you just said then, was it dot point three?
Dot point three, consider the information presented
and put it in there, and then we have a timeline of definitely what we're going to do within the 3 weeks, because that's more than quite more concerning. We've only got 3 weeks.
More than happy for that to be adjusted.
Thank you.
So it should read, Liz, consider the information presented and present a proposal.
Yep.
Prepare and present a proposal to the state government.
And I hope the urgent presentation is seen by them as within the week, like is needed.
Well, if they need the information from us, I think you'll find that they'll be out here talking to us.
So. Great. Thank you.
Is it a question, Councillor Bishop?
Clarification.
Right, quickly.
Clarification. This discussion didn't happen yesterday morning. It could have started 12 days ago. Standing orders now mean that we put in our notices of motion 12 days ago. 12 days we've had to consider this. It's great. We're all talking together. We're all moving in the right direction. It's great.
Are you talking to the motion, Councillor? Thank you. Well, that's, my office door is always open, and I'm more than happy to collaborate with any officer... Any officer or any.
That way.
Thank you.
Talk together.
Thank you. Well, Councillor Bishop, I haven't had anyone approach me about this being an issue in my office, with the greatest respect. Thank you. And my office door has been open for the last 3.5 years. Thank you. With that, councillors, I'm going to put the motion. Sorry. Are you happy with that, Councillor Boglary?
Yep. Yep. Appreciate that.
Can we maybe add urgently to that? After the state government. Well, I can take that, Councillor Bishop. I haven't heard a suggestion come from the floor. Thank you. It's actually an adverb. Councillors, you have the motion in front of you. Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott has left the room. Moving on to the next item, councillors, we have a couple of notices of motion. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 14.1.1 as written, however, with an amendment to point 3, which I think will be shown up there. Point 3.
It's there, in the highlighted bit.
Thank you.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Thank you. I've written something so I don't miss anything. I believe all councils would like to encourage athletes and officials from the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games to visit Redlands while they are in southeast Queensland for this event. Our proximity to the venue hosting the Commonwealth Games provide an ideal opportunity for us as a council to profile the Redlands to a wider audience. The Commonwealth Games is set to bring considerable economic and social benefits to southeast Queensland, and there's huge potential for positive flow-on effects to the Redlands. To achieve this, my motion to Council today is to establish a liaison committee to coordinate opportunities and relationships between Commonwealth Games teams and our local community. Council is being asked to prepare a report and recommend a structure for the proposed committee, which is expected to include representatives from Council, State Government, industry bodies, local sporting organisations and the community. Importantly, the committee will be able to identify a scope of opportunities that we can focus on to achieve a worthy result. With more than 6,500 athletes and team officials visiting the region for the event, plus spectators from all over the world, today's decision will look at how we can maximise these benefits from tourism, economic and community perspectives. We want to support sports teams and officials, encourage them to visit our beautiful city and provide opportunities for the community to engage with sporting teams. Today's decision reflects Council's commitment to fostering an active and vibrant local community while providing opportunities for athletes and officials to see our part of Australia. Although I wrote to the Commonwealth Games countries in 2013 inviting them to stay in the Redlands, today's motion, I believe, is a motion that is shared equally by all councillors, and if it were possible to be moved by more than one councillor, it would be. The 2018 Games on the Gold Coast is one of the biggest sporting events to be staged in Queensland since Brisbane hosted the Games in 1982, and this presents significant economic and social opportunities for the Redlands. There is no councillor here who doesn't want the best for our city, and having international athletes based here before or after the Games will bring many benefits and will also inspire our local kids by exposing them to the Commonwealth Games sporting elite. I recommend you support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Speaker against? I think we've got some comments. I've got Councillor Beard and Boglari, and then Councillor Gleeson. Yeah.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Of course, I'm going to support the motion, but in doing so, I just want to congratulate Councillor Edwards. He's really been a teacher in this regard. He's shown us how to best achieve the outcome that he was seeking. This has been his baby since day one, but he's brought all councillors along on the journey. He's at all times shared his ideas, shared his documentation. He's presented to a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. He's presented to a Mayor Councillor meeting, and he's included us at every step of the way. He's shown us the right process to achieve what you want to do. It was his idea. It's a great idea. Congratulations and thanks, Councillor Edwards.
Thanks, Councillor Beard. Comment, Councillor Boglari?
Yep, well done to Councillor Edwards. He saw this and he's gone with it, and I commend him for that. Way back in 2011, when we first knew that the Gold Coast were actually going to get these Commonwealth Games, you know, Council wrote, and it's been a long journey, and now we're coming to that bit where we've really got to get on board with it. There is a group, there is the Office of the Commonwealth Games, so there is a protocol, there is a procedure that we have to go through, and if we get this committee up and going, then that will be one way to highlight Redlands and all we've got to offer to this committee. For those that want to see what is going on, there's a Get Involved Embracing 2018 Facebook page. There's also a GC Gold Coast, GC2018.com. Facebook page and website. So there's already a lot happening, and Councillor Edwards and I attended a meeting recently
with the Office of the Commonwealth Games, plus our own economic development officers. So Kim Kerwin and Karen Brown, they're also on board with this, and I would encourage businesses to contact them directly as well, to make sure that they've got that foot in the door right from the beginning. And I think it's a really exciting time. We mightn't have a lot of the major events, the facilities, I mean, to the standard that these games do, but we've certainly got the opportunities to offer the day trips and everything to these teams when they're having downtime. And hopefully we've already discussed in the council workshop trying to make it easier for mums and dads to offer some sort of accommodation as well, which will be an economic benefit to the city. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time, and I'd like to encourage not just the businesses and tourism, but also the mums and dads to come on board with this. And I look forward to being involved with it. And, yep, it's a great motion.
Thanks, Councillor Glory. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I think Council Beard covered pretty much everything I was going to say.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions, councillors? There being none, Councillor Edwards. Well, just before you sum up, I just want to acknowledge also that it's not just about attracting teams to Redlands. There's a whole supply chain that can be impacted. And for those who've attended any of the presentations done by Councillor Edwards to the chambers, and a few of us have seen it, we'll understand there's a wide breadth of opportunities. In fact, one of the other ones is that we're about 10 kilometres away from the cycling events at Chandler, and we can try to capitalise on that in the training opportunities coming forward as well. So, Minister Jones, in my discussions with her, is keen to hear what this council will put forward as a proposal, and particularly in that area of cycling.
Thank you. Exciting times ahead. Seems like a long way away, but it'll come before us before we know it. So, well, thank you for your support for the motion.
Councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Elliott is absent. Next item on the agenda is 14.2.1. Councillor Ogilvy, I appreciate that. Sorry? Yeah, we will have to adjourn shortly. So, Councillor Ogilvy?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Don't have the motion in front of me, but I'm sure you'll do. I guess this came out of the motion that Councillor Gleeson put to us only a couple of weeks ago.
Councillor Nana, you're one motion ahead of yourself. It's 14 point.
Well, I'm happy to withdraw that one. That's redundant now.
Okay, you happy to withdraw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Okay, so... Okay, on to 14.2.2. We've just withdrawn that. Just making sure that we've... we can withdraw that at this point.
You need to get agreement of the meeting, I think.
Yeah, okay. So just agreement from councillors that item be withdrawn. That's carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott's not in the room. Sorry, Councillor Ogilvy, back to 14.2.2.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just 14.2.2 came out of a motion that Councillor Gleeson put to us only a couple of weeks ago about assisting...
So I just need to move it, Councillor, so we get a second. Sorry.
Moved it.
Councillor, so you've got the motion up on the board behind you. Seconded by Councillor Bishop. So, over to you.
Okay. And I remember, you'll remember the discussion at the time, and I know a few people were concerned that it wasn't our jurisdiction, and that we weren't in the income inequality game, and that it might be difficult to administer, and that it wasn't a particularly strategic approach to spending of our money. But I would suggest that some of you at the time didn't want to vote against motherhood, and as it turns out, we referred it to a workshop. Where I'm thinking that it might be just quietly ushered out of the back door, but we'll see. But then I saw a media release that was trumpeting all the good things that would happen should we go down the path of that $50,000 allocation of funding to those purposes, and I thought, how many other good things could we be doing with a similar kind of approach? Especially if we started ignoring simple things like jurisdiction, the massive scope that we would have for being able to seed fund different things in our community. Ideas like getting our aged care people into recreational activities is obviously a good one. Social isolation is an important issue in my community. It's a real problem, and I think that if we were going to be providing money for these sorts of creative health and well-being type purposes, then that also quite equally would be a justifiable cause for us to consider. it made me also think about other youth who aren't into organised team sports, are into things like skateboarding and dancing, and it made me think that they too would be interested in being able to get out of their situation and bring some life into their life. It also made me think that there was a whole range of other opportunities in other areas of our a community plan that weren't being considered through this sort of approach. Health and well-being is one issue in our community plan, but then of course economic development is another. So the kinds of things that we could be doing with our grants program, if we were to start seed funding, for example, kids who wanted to do music, we could encourage them to be practicing or working and playing in the town centres, providing economic stimulation to the town centres, encouraging people into the town centres where they will spend money. Look, I know the councillor thinks that I'm trying to spoil his fun. He's said as much to me in the last couple of days. He doesn't like this motion. But what he doesn't know is that I personally believe, have always believed, that council does very well to seed fund community organisations, volunteer groups. In my opinion, these groups, these organisations, spend money far more wisely than council will or ever could. It's pretty clear that the overheads of council, the bureaucratic and the legislative constraints and so forth, make it difficult for us to provide real benefits in the community at times. So what I'm suggesting is that we simply be comprehensive in our scope and scoping of the opportunities that might be available to us, and I hope you will support it.
Speaker for the motion. Speaker against the motion. Councillor Gleeson.
Excuse me, if I could interject. There's an opening of the Bloom Street Park. Councillor Ogilby is the divisional councillor. I was just checking, is it...
We're going to suspend the meeting. We're going to adjourn the meeting.
I just noticed the mayor had already left. I just wanted to make sure the divisional councillor also had the opportunity.
I think it's 12 o'clock, so it's, we'll adjourn it around about 11:55. Last item. Speaker against the motion is Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. What a joke. What a joke. 2 weeks ago, I brought this notice of motion to come to Council to extend a program, a sporting program that I'd piloted in Capalaba for over a year. And it was, I brought the notice of motion in with the facts and the costs and the commitments and the benefits to all of us in the room. 2 weeks later, we get an amended version that is designed to help, well, pretty much everybody. Apparently, all I've got to do is buy a skateboard and I can put my hand up for something, but we don't know what it is. What a joke. It's not specific enough. It does nothing but bastardise my original notice of motion.
Point of order, man.
And it just seeks to weaken the original intent. It's a joke.
Welcome back. Speaker, we've got a speaker again. Speaker 4, Councillor Bishop.
I thank both of the councillors for raising awareness about the importance of looking after those who could do with a little support. If all of those people only wore jerseys, maybe even of a particular colour as opposed to others, we might narrow it down even further. I think what Councillor Ogilvie is doing today, Councillor Gleeson, if you could just open your mind to it, is actually including the option for others who may be disadvantaged. People who like other endeavours. Valid, living human beings who are finding it difficult in this world. We know. I was at a sport and recreation thing, the Redlands Sport and Recreation Forum on Saturday, attended by groups from all across the city, hundreds of people. We know that sport is changing. It's turning into recreation. God forbid. Maybe recreation involves something other than traditional support. It is.
So Liz, I'm going to bring you back to the item, and I am going to remind you of standing orders.
So I would like to...
I'm speaking, thank you, Councillor Bishop. And your standing orders require you to cease speaking when the chair is talking. I'm just going to remind you about conduct in your meetings. And this is to all of you. Section 23, and I'll highlight item 4. Council must not make personal reflections on or impute improper motives to another councillor or council employee. So please, can you remain respectful and And with that, Councillor Bishop, we are going to adjourn the meeting very shortly. As you know, we have a presentation over at Bloomfield Park. So if I could ask you to wrap up,
if I could just conclude with a request that our fellow councillors support inclusivity, diversity and creative pursuits, cultural pursuits. Thank you.
And we all do that, I believe, in different ways. Thank you.
Here's the moment to do it. We're supporting this motion.
Councillor Beard. Any speakers against? There being none, I'll go just a quick comment.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to support the motion, although I have apprehension about dot point one, because I think it perhaps it might turn out that it commits us to more funding than we have available. But I'm going to support it on the basis of dot point two, that the matter is listed at the next community grants workshop. We can discuss it further at that point, but at this point of time, there's no reason to vote against the motion. We'll talk about it at the grants workshop.
Councillor Elliott, did you want to make a quick comment?
Ditto.
Thank you, that was quick. One word, I like it. Any other questions? Councillors, with that, I'll put the motion, those in favour.
Quickly sum up, Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry, pardon me.
And I won't be long. I just want to say to the councillor, I mean, my training is in sport. University training my whole life as a kid was in sport, and I understand the benefits of sport to kids well as you and as many other around this table, I can tell you. But I think that, you know, we owe it to ourselves to be inclusive. And that means talking not just about sport, but it does talking about recreation and cultural pursuits and other disadvantaged groups, not just poor kids. And I'm not pouring water on your solution. I'm just saying there are a range of other opportunities here that we could be looking at. And if we're going to scope and do this properly, we should do it scoped and properly. And I look forward to that workshop. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte. Thank you. Councillors, the next item on the agenda is urgent business without notice, and I haven't been advised of any. So with that, I thank you for participation this morning, and I close the meeting at 11:52. Thank you. Thank you.